Hello, this is Pastor Richard. On this particular recording, we had some sound problems, but if you turn the volume up high, you'll be able to hear quite a bit. At the beginning, the person that was recording this, you can hear him messing around with the microphone, trying to get it to work. But please accept our apologies for the sound quality, and thank you for listening to this recording. Thank you. God bless.
Christians that have never seen him or heard him, and yet we death of the cross. So his love took him to that place to die for us, to die that we may be saved. And so no wonder Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, the first one who experienced the true resurrection. And 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." So remember, all of this was done for us through God, who is love. And if we have the love of God in us, then the life that we live will prove that we see God through love, and that love is activated and practiced among God's people. And through the Holy Spirit, it will be perfected in us. And that is how it is perfected. I cannot love the way God loves me unless I am being led by His Holy Spirit to do so. You know, because there's times we'll see people or we meet people and they hurt us. And sometimes we don't know what to do with that pain or that hurt. I've learned, even when someone doesn't say, "Hey, I'm sorry that I hurt you," I've learned a great lesson, and that is to, you know, sometimes people say, "Well, you forgive them." Well, I've learned to do something even greater than that. I give it to the Lord. And I'm able to love that person through Christ. Because my flesh is angry and upset at this person, but when I give it to the Lord, and then I'm calmed down and I'm able to see this person in a different light. Just like when we came to Jesus, we no longer look like enemies to God, but we are part of Him because of the Son, Jesus Christ. And again, it's because of that four-letter word, because He loves us. And that is what John is focusing on here. And this is what he has been a witness to, and this is what he's telling the people that are reading this, his readers this, is that God is love, and he wants them to understand. Because even during that day, during those days, there were trials and tribulations. Christians were being killed, all kinds of things. But you know what kept them together? Even through that, they had each other. They were born, they became a family of God. I've always said that spiritual birth is stronger than even the blood birth. That blood that connects family together. But that spiritual birth is greater, is stronger, is more powerful. Because of love, that love is so powerful. That is how we see God. It is through His love, through the love that He has given us. In 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." So remember, all of this, again, was done through God's love. And it was because of His love, and we're perfected by that. 13th verse, "By this we know that we abide in Him love to the point that we want to tell them about Jesus Christ. So it's so nice to know that he abides in us, and we can know now on this side of eternity that he is with us. We abide in him, and he in us. Our abiding in Jesus is not a one-sided affair with us struggling to abide in him and Jesus trying to escape us. He's not trying to get away from us. He's trying to get closer to us. Just as true as it is that we should abide in him, it is true that he does abide in us. Jesus said in John 14:4, abide in me and I in you. And in John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, one of the ways Jesus abides in us and lives in us is through his word. And that's how that happens. It is through his word that he abides in us. He has given us his spirit. John brings up the work of the Holy Spirit in us at this point for two important connections. First, it is the Spirit of God in us that is the abiding presence of Jesus. The presence of his Holy Spirit is how he abides in us. And secondly, it is the testimony of the Holy Spirit within us that makes it possible for us to know that we abide in him. And that's what's so important that we need to know, that he abides in us and we abide in him. As Paul puts it in Romans 8:1, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit gives us the assurance. John discusses three evidence of genuine Christianity. And one is having the presence of the Holy Spirit. And two, acknowledging Jesus as God's Son. And three, abiding in love. And again, here's how we're getting, abiding in his love. This is the heart of Christianity. It's not always about what you're doing or rituals or going to church. It's about why are all these things going on in your life? Why do you go to church? Why do you do the things that you do? Do you do it just to be looked upon, or do you do it because you truly have the love of God working through you and you're doing that because of that? I know that there's probably times there's a lot of pastors that would really like people to truly understand what love, the love of God truly is. Because you know what, if we can get that, that is when we begin to know, again, who we are. Our identity is in the love of God. It's through his son, Jesus. And if we could identify with that and we live according to that, you'd be surprised how often that you are able to be led more by the Spirit than by the flesh. That you are less likely to be tempted as much because your love for God will cause you and I to seek his face daily, every day, seeking him, looking to him. So having the presence of the Holy Spirit is very important, and acknowledging who Jesus is in God is very important. And abiding in his love, I say, seals the deal. So throughout the book of 1 John, John offers several signs of a real Christian experience, which provides a basis for assurance. The presence of these signs testifies to the believer's true spiritual condition. When people become Christians, they receive the Holy Spirit. God's presence in their life is proof that they really belong to him. God also gives them the power to love. And that's how we know who we are in Christ. Because his love dwells in us. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. The only way believers can have this mutual relationship with the Father, they in him and he in them, is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is real. Even Jesus spoke of him and told them what the Holy Spirit would do. And one of the things he said the Holy Spirit would not do was to speak of himself. But to remind the apostles, and I believe even also us, as far as who we are in Christ. In Romans 5:5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, this is how we know. How do you know this? Because the Word of God says, and I truly believe. Because I love God, I have faith in God. And because I have faith in God, I trust in his word. In Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Again, that's how you can tell. How do you know? It's by the fruits that they bear. Do they bear the fruit of love? Because if they're bearing the fruit of love, all the other fruits, love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, kindness, all of these will be seen also in that life. So I know that there are people who say, I'm a Christian, but you don't see the love. There are people that are so busy practicing Christianity, but they're not living Christianity. And what I mean by practice, they're always doing good things. You know, I do this and I do that, and they're doing that. Some people do it based on a religion, based on the type of church they go to. But see, that doesn't do it. You gotta have the love. You have to have this love. It has to be genuine. It has to be real. And the way you know that it's real also is when it's in action. Because love is a verb. This is how people see that. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21-22 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So it's guaranteed. His love is guaranteed. And if this love is guaranteed, then we should live as such. We should be loving one another, uplifting one another. Because see, the better relationship that we have with one another, I'm telling you, it will generate a light that the world will see. Because there's people out there in that world that are looking for something. And I heard someone, they're not looking for God, but they're looking for something stable. They're looking for someone to care. And I say it's a shame if they can't walk through a church door and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and feel the presence of His love in a building or have people come and greet them. I have my son, he's back east, he's based in back east, and he was telling me about how he was going to different churches, just trying to find a different church. And he was amazed at how people were kind of standoffish. You know, I mean, he was raised in church. But he was just amazed. I mean, there was just that difference. So he finally found a church, and these people were very warm and gentle, and you know, they teach the word. It wasn't like he was going there judging. It was like just that experience was like, what is this? You know? He would say, you know, I would say, well, did you go and shake hands with me? He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, I would go there a couple of days, a couple of Sundays, but it would basically be the same old. So, again, it's so important that we show love, that we show spiritual hospitality. Because the thing is that here it tells us that we've been anointed by God, and He has given us a heart of love, and that we should practice that love that He's given us. We should show that love. We should be ready to love. You know, I said this before, wouldn't it be great if people just can't wait for a Sunday to come? People just say, wow, it's on Sunday. Or if you're having a bad day at work, you go, you know what? These people here on my job may not care, but I know some people in the church who cares about me. I got a church family that I can trust in. You know, my friend is just a phone call away if I'm going through something. And see, that's what helps us in trials and tribulations. When we are exercising that love. Because like I've always said, love is a verb, it's an action. It's just not a word, especially agape love. So God, He establishes in us. He's established in us. His love is established in us. Even Jesus said, I and the Father will dwell in you. And if He dwells in us, then you know what? We should be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should be led by more by His Holy Spirit. 14th verse. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. See, there's the belief. I believe this. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So here in John 1:1, John said that Jesus was eternal and therefore was God, because Jesus existed before all thousands and was the source and basis of existence of all things. So John said, 12 and many other followers of Christ before his death, resurrection, and return back to heaven had heard, seen with their eyes, and looked upon, and they even handled him. This indicates that this eternal being, the one from the beginning, came to earth, as John pointed out in John chapter 1. And now he is saying, we have seen him personally. Jesus, God's Son, the eternal one. John is saying, we are not making this up, nor are we just talking idle talk. We're not talking by tradition, nothing from estimation. We have had the fullest certainty of all that we have written to you about and preached. The idea is that the Father has sent his Son. And John is bearing witness that he has audibly heard, physically seen, potentially studied, and looked upon him, and tangibly touched him. So he is saying that God sent Jesus, his Son, to be the Savior of the world. He is so true about that. He's saying, I believe. This is the Son of God. This is the third time John speaks of God sending his Son. We saw it in verse 9 of this chapter, in verse 10. And John is calling God Father. Why? Because of the faith that he has for the one who died on Calvary. That's how we have faith in God, through his Son Jesus Christ, his grace that was given to us. A strong declaration of the message and mission of the incarnate Christ is clear. John had pointed out the fact that although no one has seen God, he said, but we have seen his Son whom he sent. God had sinners in his mind when he sent his Son because he loved us. And I really love what Jesus said, and you've heard me say this many times because I just love what Jesus said. When you remember when Thomas saw him, because at first Thomas was denying that he had risen from the dead, because Thomas had seen what everybody else had seen. He died. He's gone. And they told me he had risen. And it wasn't until Jesus was standing there before Thomas that when Thomas saw him, he fell, and I can picture in my mind him at Jesus' feet when he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you see me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe. And that's us. No one here has seen him, but yet we believe. We believe in Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of God. And this is what John is talking about in Colossians 1, 11 through 14. New Living Testament. Paul tells the Colossians, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thinking of the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. And that's who we serve. That's who we look to. That's who we love. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard him. But I truly believe the witness that these men have written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all these different ones, Paul. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. We believe. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take before the Lord comes. You and I will probably be gone for maybe another 100 years. I don't know how long. But you know what? The name of Jesus will continue to be preached, and message of love and truth are both important. This confession provides further evidence that there is communion between God and the person making the statement. It also exposes the true from the false professor, people who falsely profess that they believe. It is the confession of public conviction and acknowledgement that reveals an inward commitment, and that commitment is to Jesus. Because Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in him, I trust in him, not just as the Savior for the world, but as my Savior. I personally trust in him as the Savior, the Son sent from God. So once again, John affirms the divine relationship between God and man. God lives in him and he in God. This is not just a statement regarding the status of Jesus as the Son. It is a confession that results in a response to a new life, resulting in a commitment to obedient trust. That's what's so important right there. When you say that, you and I say that we love the Lord, then we trust in the Lord. We become obedient to him. Where does this come from? It comes because of the love that he has for us, and the love that we have for him. We have faith, we believe, we have hope in him, and we become obedient to him because we trust in him. So the natural reaction of someone who genuinely believes that Jesus is the Son of God is to join his life with his in all things. I trust him in every part of my life. I give trust to him. I pray when making certain decisions. I say, Lord, help me with this. Or, you know, I trust him. So the resulting obedience gives the necessary outward evidence that there is true fellowship with God. To live or abide in God is a vital, intimate, continuous, and growing reality that we must have in our lives. The believer has a new and invisible power for the fulfillment of his work on earth. God is in the believer. He is in those who believe. He realizes that his life is not on earth, that the blessing essentially is in order when God comes and blesses. Our blessing is in God and not always here on the earth. Because a lot of times we're always seeking things. I mean, we are to live. I'm not saying that we can't have fun, we can't enjoy. But you know what? That should not be the focal point. The focal point should always be our Lord and Savior, and everything else follows. I like what a guy said. Verses, because my love is first to my God, then to my wife and family, and like that. Because my job is down there, maybe number 9 or 10. You know, but the thing is that when we have this love in order, when we are able to see God through the love, and especially through the love of his people that the people have for one another, it is so strong, it's so powerful. It's healing in a way. When you truly have the love of God in your heart, your past can become a shadow to the bright light of God's love, that agape love. Well, if your marriage is not doing well, turn to God and watch what he'll do to that marriage. He'll revive that marriage. But it's a trust. We got to trust in him. We cannot be saying that, well, you know, I can't stay with my spouse because of this or that. And it's almost like saying Calvary could not fix that, what he has done in Calvary. But it, of course, it's both persons to say, hey, we both need to turn our face to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness. Because, see, this love that I'm talking about, that John is talking about, it is so powerful. It will. It can bring sight to the blind, spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. It can bring healing to those people that have been hurt. I've heard of people that were just mentally kind of messed up because of some bad things that happened. And once they heard about Jesus, and they grabbed onto it, they held onto it, and they honestly said that, you know what, I was better. I'm not saying that everybody ends up 100% because we still struggle. But the thing is that they were better off than they were the first time, now that they've met Christ. See, that's how powerful that love is. I think we spend so much time talking about this and that, but what about the love of God? And of course, that love is so great, you know, it's so great that one day he's going to judge. And just because he loves us that much doesn't mean that he's not going to judge us. Doesn't mean that there are going to be people that are going to get their just due. Because that's what comes from a loving father. your word is a true testimony.